Hello, listeners. I'm Logan McLean, and this is OJT, On the Job Training. It's a podcast where I, a journalism student, practice my craft by interviewing passionate people about their projects. Alex McIsaac is a journalism student, too, enrolled in the same program as me at Holland College in Charlottetown, PEI. While Alex's first year was a success, a future in journalism is under question. We met in Charlottetown to discuss the love of sharing ideas, the pandemic outlook on J-School, and the possibility of a career in writing. All right, Alex McIsaac, you and I are in the same journalism and communications program at Holland College. Just wanted to ask a bit off the top, how did you get into journalism and or communications?
I mean, I think it was just like a natural interest of like not wanting to do something that was going to necessarily lead me in one particular direction. I knew it was going to be give me a lot of like skills that I could apply without necessarily having to say this is what I'll do for the rest of my life, you know. And also enjoying creative writing, like just that's the passion end of it. And then you find the logical reasons to get into it and the reasons you kind of tell yourself. And then at the end of the day, I guess you really just want to write. You kind of have to just like actually have to have that, I think. That you have to have a baseline of that before you, I think you look at other people who are, you know, enjoying the program, and there's that inherent curiosity and like writing and I think the world and that sort of thing.
So did you do much like writing on your own time before coming here?
To a certain extent, like largely just with school. And then I worked in events, and I would do social media management for various events at a center that I worked at. It was like a nonprofit. And that gave me sort of an understanding of communications, and I got a little bit of experience in, you know, writing press releases and trying to communicate a coherent and cohesive message about a company or a production or an event or whatever it may be to an audience. And I did that without any training, and I look back on, you know, had I known what I know now, and you just shake your head. But it's like a lot of like real world experience that may not be an example of, you know, oh, I did this amazing, but it's a learning experience nonetheless. And it was nice to get my foot a little wet, and then knowing it was actually something I enjoyed. So at the end of the day, regardless of if it took me anywhere, I would have fun doing it. So that's a roundabout way of saying why I got into it, I guess.
Did you find that it was a good fit? Like, I remember when we first met, you mentioned that you had tried out carpentry program and weren't feeling it the first couple of days. What was it like stepping into journalism?
It was a click for sure. It was what I was looking for. I think what I mentioned earlier about going to school with a direct purpose, and that was what carpentry was. I was going to do that, and I was going to graduate, and I was going to be a carpenter. And there was something sort of like finite about that, maybe, that was like freaking me out. And I knew that I had bigger curiosities. Nothing against carpentry. It's incredibly difficult. You have to have such good math skills, which also I think maybe being a writer is like unanimous that you don't have. As much as Rick would like hate that, and I know his opinions on saying that you're bad at math, but like, I am bad at math. So that was also a realization. I remember it was like day three or something of carpentry school, because I did the first week, and it was my first math class. And the basic test, I just had like flashbacks of grade 12 math and how it really went poorly. And then I just dropped, because I dropped the course in grade 12, and I was just like, oh no. This is so much math. This isn't just like sitting around a job site and drinking coffee. You actually have to like, and anyway,
you gotta know where to hammer those nails.
You gotta know there's a lot of like
measure twice, cut
yeah,
once.
Yeah. And I'm like, so I'm just like laissez-faire about far too many things in life. And
you're a whittler, not a carpenter.
Yeah. I'm like, there's not a lot of like creative, like you can do creative things with carpentry. However, in like residential. There's not a million ways to build a fence, man. Like, it's pretty like standard. And then like, you can't be like, I'm just going to like wing it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to do it wrong.
Oh, absolutely. And I've experienced them. But,
so did you find with the journalism program that it gave you kind of the options to explore?
Absolutely. That creative side? And I think that like, you look at what we had for our first semester doing broader, maybe slightly more academic subjects, it really just gave me a refresher in why I enjoyed those things, why I enjoyed politics or history or general, you know, world events, or why I actually had a passion. I mean, one of our instructors, I remember said to me in like a meeting, you know, do something that nourishes you, and you get that gut feeling of, I don't know why this feels good, but it feels good. And that was sort of the when I came into journalism. That's what I felt when I came to the program, so to speak. And it also, we were provided with ample opportunity to write. You could be as creative. I think you could be with our essays. You're able to be as creative or non-creative as you wanted, as long as you communicated your points effectively. And I really enjoyed that freedom. And I think we're given a lot of flexibility with how we described certain things and how we used our words. And it was far to the left of like a traditional academic writing style. And it was quite a nice. It kind of nice. It fit my vibe. In a way that, like, I'm kind of bad with grammar, and like, I don't spell very well. So the flexibility of, you know, you can use, like a sentence fragment or whatever it may be, in the right circumstances. Like, oh yeah, of course you can. Like, I've been telling teachers this for years. Yeah, no, I can just. I don't need a subject. It says what I want to say. You know. And that's what journalism kind of gave me. What we would have been taught is just communicate your point effectively.
Right. It's about telling the story and the way that the audience puts them there beside you.
Who cares about the technical shit? Honestly, I don't know.
Was there any particular assignments in the first year that stood out to you? Or any stories that you wrote that you're...
Stories that I wrote?
Or an essay.
I'm trying to think now. I mean, so wrote a story about one of my, I got to like actually include, and it was sort of unintentional. I mean, one of my friends owns a t-shirt company, Stay Golden Pair, Stay Golden Customs. Like, forget it now. But I was able to, he did a promotion where they're doing, launching like a web store and fundraiser for freelance types and small businesses during COVID-19, where you'd sell a t-shirt with, you know, a design created by you or an artist or whomever. And a percentage of the sales would go directly to the person, you know, the one who's creating the shirt. So it was a fundraiser in that way. And the subject was my buddy Logan, who was a musician. And he actually had designed a shirt, had his like cat on it. It was really cool. And it really meant a lot to him that he was able to gain like a source of income in like a challenging time. And this was sort of before like CERB, I think, even came around. And yeah, it was nice to get to see what I'm doing have a tangible effect in someone's life in a way. And, you know, yeah, getting to see,
makes it real.
Yeah. It makes it real to, you know, connecting like, my life before journalism, so to speak, and, you know, what I'm doing now. And it was kind of cool.
Do you find value in doing work that is like that, where you're really feel like you're making a difference?
Yeah, I do. At the same time, it's not necessarily like what I'm not trying to say that that is necessarily what I'm here for also, you know. I think that requires like a, not that the story that I did required like a large amount of emotional fortitude. Like at the end of the day, everyone felt good, you know, it was a good thing. But there's a certain level, I think, when you're doing that, those types of like, I'm trying to make a difference stories, that you're probably, it's emotionally enveloping. And I think you should, I think, I don't know if I would be able to distance myself appropriately at all times. You know what I mean? Get a little obsessive.
Yeah, I think I do know what you mean.
Like, I don't, because I mean, like, you and me messaging, or you and I messaging, like during the early days, I remember of COVID, we just send like outrageous videos to each other about awful things happening in the world at like 7 a.m. And you have that like guttural, visceral anger. And then you have breakfast and you're kind of like, oh, Jesus, this is a lot. This is a lot. And it's fun. And like, I love looking at fun stuff on the internet and reading things and like giving my two cents on something, but it can be a little draining sometimes too.
Yeah, it's very hard to step away from.
Like it's really hard.
I found that with taking that physiology course for 6 or 7 weeks. During that time, so much happened politically, especially in the United States, and kind of stuff that I'm deeply interested in, but I would have to kind of very much limit myself to how much I could consume, or there's no way I'm going from, you know, having protest chants stuck in my head to going back to studying fucking physiology and being able to just focus on, okay, Logan, you have to learn how this enzyme works or you're not going to, like, you know what I mean? It's really hard to compartmentalize that stuff. I definitely get what you mean with being kind of draining.
Well, it's just so, it's so like emotional, and you're just like,
it matters.
Yeah, it matters, and you're just, you get so frustrated, and then you're just really, you can always do something, but what are you gonna do at the end of the day? Like you're sitting here on your couch, and you're just like, I can't do anything.
Do you find being in journalism though sort of empowering?
Yeah,
that definitely gives you a bit of agency.
It's, yeah, the idea that I can now put my thoughts on paper in a cohesive, like, actual story, you know? Because I think before you learn the mechanics of, like, writing a new story, you might think you could write, but you're just sort of putting words on a page. And when you really figure out the setup, so to speak, it makes a lot of things line up in your brain. And you can then create a narrative and create a story and create something that is telling somebody something beyond, you know, weird, kind of unrelated ramblings, which I think was a little bit like what I would probably write before journalism school, you know?
So what are you doing these days to keep yourself busy?
Oh, I'm totally, it's a totally like 180, so to speak. I'm doing like lawn care landscaping right now, working like 60 hours a week.
For who?
It's like an independent company in town. And, it's great, man. It's a really nice reprieve, so to speak, from, you know, heavy writing all the time. Because that's what, it's pretty intense. Like, you're writing all day long. So it's just been a really nice, like, break in a way. And it's kind of provided me with, like, there's a satisfaction in, like, doing something and seeing a tangible outcome.
Yeah. I actually cut my grass at my parents' house a couple times this week, and it's satisfying.
Yeah, for sure. Getting to get a, and I don't mean this in the corny sense, you get a job done. Like, you can write all day, but like at the end of the day, you're just like, well, if I wrote that, let's hope someone sees it and likes it or something.
Writing, you know, is never really done. Like,
no.
Ask a writer about their published book. They're like, oh, I don't want to look at that.
Yeah.
I can't pick that up. No. I'll just have everything hate about it.
Fuck, it's just so cringy, man. You just read your stuff and you're like, No, I'm quite enjoying, and it's physical too, you know, like you end the day and you're tired. You're legitimately tired beyond the point of just some mental headache from, you know, arguing or something. it's a really, you know, long days, but I like it. Yeah. Being outside all day is awesome.
What about COVID-19? I know on PEI, it almost seems at times like it's not really a thing anymore because it's been so quiet here, but around us, it's getting worse in the States. It's still an issue in Canada. What are you thinking on that these days, especially heading into the fall?
I mean, I'm hopeful that the whole Atlantic bubble thing between the three, Newfoundland's included in that. Are they or not?
I'm honestly not sure.
I'm not sure either. Yeah. But I hope it goes off well. I'm a little nervous about it. Being that there, I could be wrong about this, but I think there's still like some active cases in New Brunswick.
There was a couple.
Yeah, so then there was that outbreak in Campbellton, but maybe, I don't know, I'm not an epidemiologist. I don't know what it's, I think at the end of the day, I think it was probably like, you gotta get money flowing. At the end of, like, it's not necessarily my like personal opinion, like, you know, that, but like, I think that's probably what has got pushed down the line from like the feds, and you know,
it's got to be tough to deal with, or not tough to deal with, but when there hasn't been an increase in cases, the public pressure to, you know, at least try opening up must be pretty immense.
Yeah.
I guess that's just kind of how the economy works. It's like, have to do stuff whether people agree with it or not. Unfortunately, it seems like they're gonna have to try and reopen, because I don't know, man, it's, some of it's a little over my head with trying to understand how anything's gonna get paid for, but it always seems to get paid for.
What's interesting too is the island, the PC government releasing their budget, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're estimating similar tax revenues as a lot the year previous. And you know, the question is asked, how can you have the same sales tax revenues in a year when people are buying less shit? Like, I don't know finance that well. It just doesn't seem to compute. I don't know. Scares me the most is the States, man. Like, what is going, like, I don't, they're just, they, it's just a free for all, man. I don't think, it's just Florida and Arizona, Texas just being,
it's interesting to see places like Texas be like, yeah, we're not going to open up. We were going to, but
have they said that?
I think so, the other day.
Yeah.
There was a couple places that were like reopening and then kind of pulled back a little bit.
Because people are seeing how bad it's gotten. And
getting worse all the time.
Oh, yeah. And like, there's a big causation versus correlation, like memory lapse, I think, in people's brains, which is like causing everyone's like, well, I don't, you know, you don't see anything for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is. So people are not understanding that like your actions now do matter. Like, I heard somebody say the other day, they go, well, if you don't have COVID, why can't you hang out with your friends? I'm like, dude, it's not how it works. Like, that's, and unfortunately, a lot of people think like that. Like,
still
do, man. And I mean, on PEI, you know, we can follow certain guidelines and it's okay to now be hanging out with your buddies and whatnot, but it's just, you see those videos of pool parties down in the States, and everyone is just crammed into this like dirty resort pool. And I'm like, those are a little greasy on the best of days. In the middle of a pandemic, I don't think it's going to be great for anyone's health. So, yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to loop back a little bit though, actually, between the journalism that makes you pissed and the working with your hands, what kind of stories do you want to do that might be a little more comfortable? Is there anything that you're thinking that way?
Oh,
do you envision a path that's not so keyed up all the time with doing journalism? Because I know that's a concern I kind of have as well.
In terms of like the topics you're dealing with, or?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that there's a, you can always write, and then you can always do that, and you can do something else too. And particularly when like all the papers are closing and stuff, that's a bit of an, that's a bit of a realization that you have to have, is like, I'm going to maybe have to do this and not be paid for a little while, I guess now. Cause you know, Saltwire just laid off like 30 people.
No, dude, they fired 109.
Oh yeah. Across yeah. all like, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not the most comforting thing, but also, I mean, the beauty of our program too is we do have talent in writing in general, and that's always going to be needed regardless of it doesn't have to do anything, that doesn't at all have to be journalistic at all, but we will come out of the program good writers, or better writers at least than
and
we
good
were.
Listeners too,
and good listeners,
that's a skill.
There's some really transferable skills that we're being taught, which I really enjoy, and I think you need to look at it from the right eye maybe, but that is what I'm looking forward to the most. I would love to do journalism. I'd love to get a job in it. It's just something that is so like, I need to pay rent at the end of the day, man. You know, I got bills. Like,
even entry level positions are not necessarily super high paying.
They just screw you around. Like, well, come on. Yeah. Come hang out on weekends. And I don't know. After that, maybe you'll hang out, maybe you won't. Eh, whatever. Like, oh yeah, you don't have a desk, but
but you're gonna share a desk. Whoever gets here first.
Well, that's what we've heard the stories about our local paper. Like, you know, it's just like you come and you're just like, oh yeah, you no desk today. Okay. Like, what? Like,
go sit at Tim's.
At least like I drive a truck all day. I know I can sit down, so I'd like, you know, I can drive a truck and trailer, and it's like pretty, like, at least I have that security. It's just, whatever, I don't know, it's just I don't know, I love to do it. It's just so like I'm just like, I need to also have a side hustle if I'm gonna do it, you know.
I think that's gonna be, damn this gig economy, man.
I
don't like that I'm doing this podcast in small part as a side hustle. It's gonna be a long time before I make a dime, if I ever do. But like you're just saying, that you need to be able to do multiple things. I'm doing this in part so that I can do journalism, even if I don't become a journalist. And there's a very good chance that I won't.
Yeah.
And this will, like, the pod's gonna keep going, and it's an opportunity to live out the dream. But like, I definitely feel you, man.
I do think maybe we played ourselves a little bit. Not in our decision by any means, but I mean, like, in large, the like, I think we made it in the creatives, so to speak. I don't know, it's like a whatever term, but made it evident to companies that you can just hire independent contractors. And that has done us no favors. You know, so.
No union.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, there's no. Instead of having a marketing division or a graphic designer or a creative writer, you know, on your small business or your medium-sized business, you can just hire a dude, you know,
and it's outsourced, like, to Fiverr.
Outsourced to Fiverr and pay him $20 for like 3 hours work. Like, oh, okay, cool. That's chill. I don't know how we're going to get back to something a little bit more sustainable.
But like you said, on the upside, we are learning all of those skills to sell to people.
Absolutely.
So, and like, that's kind of something that Rick is talking about doing with that.
Yeah.
Other course he's talking about. Did he say he's going to make it creative nonfiction? Was that it?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I
a lot of just like learning freelance kind of skills.
That needs to be something that is implemented in the curriculum. Absolutely. Because there is, in my opinion, there's an onus on your instructor to teach you how to actually make money at the end of the day.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Rick's very keen on that, which I appreciate.
I do too. Yeah. I appreciate that. I think that's very, very down to earth, very practical. Because at the end of the day, if you can't pay to like charge your laptop, like, what are you gonna do, man? Like, I don't know.
Gotta pay for ink for those pens.
You gotta do something. So, no, I look.
Sorry, go ahead.
I really look forward to, even though it's maybe journalism is in like a real transition. I just look forward to the skills I'll have at the end of the day, regardless of if I work in journalism or if I, you know, I think I'll write in some aspects for sure. But I'm just, I'm looking at it all positive, you know, because it's really all I can do. And, you know, I don't know. It's a real hassle now with the whole online learning thing, but whatever. I don't know.
We're going to be back in person at least mostly in the fall.
Mostly? Is that, have you been in communication? I haven't. I didn't hear that.
Like, we're going to have classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay. And then we can stay in the building until like 4 or 5 o'clock.
Oh, so it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And then Thursday and Friday, we're still going to be at the Guardian potentially. I emailed Rick about this actually.
Oh, that's how that works.
Yeah. I can forward you the email.
Sure. Yeah, maybe. That'd be wicked. Yeah, that's nice to hear because it's just a little bit so up in the air. Right?
Yeah. I don't like not knowing because yeah. I loved the hell out of our program in first year, but the parts of it that I loved, some of it was the newsroom.
Yeah.
Some of it was getting to do, I was PA announcer for a few of the Hurricane sports teams. The sports are canceled already. So stuff like that, sort of the campus life.
You're almost paying more to have that red pen ink on your page in person than you are for the syllabus and whatnot. You know, like that's what it's for. That's what you're paying for. You're paying for that hands-on touch.
Yeah, that feedback.
At the end of the day, it's Holland College. It's a trade school. Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be hands-on.
It's supposed to be hands-on. In person. That's what I'm paying for. I'm not at university for a reason, you know? If do university online, you can talk about whatever, like do your thing. That's, but I'm here to do hands-on work. Like regardless of if it's not traditionally thought of as a hands-on thing, it is.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. That's how I want to do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just looking forward to it.
All right, man. I think that's a good place to leave this.
For sure.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This week's progress report might be better titled The Relief Report. For those listeners who caught the pandemic edition last episode, you likely noticed a sense of concern about doing journalism in a mid- and post-COVID world. But as I mentioned there, recent events have got me back in the storytelling and idea-sharing mindset. It was a huge benefit for me to sit down and discuss some of these shared concerns with Alex. I hope you didn't mind the unusually casual tone here, but I didn't think it fit the subject or the situation to treat a friend and colleague too formally. Journalistic professionalism is always essential, but I think our conversation usefully gets into just what that means. This is, after all, a podcast in part about the craft of journalism, and one of the goals is to bring listeners into the studio, but also the newsroom, or the parking lot smoke break, if you will. Rick McLean, one of our instructors we mentioned a few times, doesn't allow students to interview each other for assignments because it is, in his words, incestuous. I tend to agree with that, especially in an era of low public trust in the media. However, at the same time, I see value in showing the public some of what journalists talk about behind closed doors. We're supposed to function as a proxy for the audience, but it's hard for the public to trust us when they can't see themselves in our work. There's a reason many view the media as complicit in a system they don't support. We have to be of the people, too. Otherwise, the people will rightfully ask, who do you really serve? Just who are the afflicted, and who are the comfortable? And that's all for episode 6. You can follow Alex McIsaac on Instagram at Alex McIsaac and on Twitter at AA McIsaac. That's McIsaac with an M-A-C, not M-C. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at OJT_podcast and on Twitter at OJT Podcast. The Facebook page is OJT On The Job Training. You can follow me on Instagram at Logan.McLean.75 and on Twitter at LoganMcLean94. And finally, listeners, please check out my website, ojtpod.ca, for more pictures and some written stories from Alex, along with my own written stories and photography and pages on other past guests and episodes. The podcast is available there and on all major streaming platforms. Please rate and subscribe and leave a review. Everything helps when getting a podcast off the ground, and if you like this show and want more interesting guests, listener feedback is the best way to help me reach new people and make that happen. This has been OJT On The Job Training. I'm Logan McLean. Thank you for listening.